Accession number 28896, reel number 5.
Mr. Blewett, reel 5. We're talking about your working at Favourite. How long were you there?
Well, I was there from 35, April, I think it was. I started in April until I got called up. That was August.
Had you completed your apprenticeship at the time of Cullen? No, you're still apprenticed then.
No.
Did you get an increase in wage each
year?
Well,
every birthday, you went and knocked on the clerk's window, and whatever you were, 15, 16 this week, right off, and he used to put it down, then the next week when you were 16, you got a rise. Not a lot, maybe about 1/6 or something like that. I think when the time I come away, I think we were on about 10/6 or something like that. But as I say, the men were on good wages.
So we're coming now to the late 1930s. You're working at Favourdale. Were there any indications at that time that things weren't going well in Europe?
Well, the only thing at the time was the Spanish Civil War was going on. There was a lot of sympathy in one way or another, but we weren't looking ahead to a world war, you know, nothing that. But I don't think we realised the full extent of it at the time. But just one of my friends, he went away, he left and went away to join the RAF. I would be about 17, I think. And
this is the chap that we've already got on the tape that you described. Because you went to try to join yourself after that.
Yeah, well, he was the one that inspired me. He went away, he was always lived the next street to us, so we're always going up to the park, Stanhope Park, playing football, and that was still our main recreation. Like apart from that and the pitches, there was no girls involved in them days. It was still football was the thing, you know. And I used to bike home with him as well. So when this particular day he hadn't come into work, and a couple of days, and I said to my other friend, Jackie Todd, I said, I'll go around to McNulty, they called him. I said, I'll go around to Mac's house tonight and see what's up with him. So when I went round and knock on the door, his mother come to the door, I said, I was Frank. She said, he's all right, why? I said, well, he's not been to work. I thought, I'd maybe put my foot in it, but I thought, well, he's not been to work. She said, oh, no, he's joined the RAF. Oh. I said, he never said anything, never tried to squeak. So anyway,
I think we have got this on the tape.
Have you?
Yes, we went through all this.
All right.
Yeah, and including the time that you went to join the RAF.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So we've got all that. So that puts it in very nicely. So, you in 1936-37, as I say, you're still apprenticed. And what were conditions like in Darlington then? Were they was work easy to get? Or?
I think so. Pretty good. I mean, the railways were going full blast. There was the North Road. There was Favourdale. There was Stoupadale. There was the mill. Mostly women at the mill. There was the rolling mills. There was the forge. There was, there's quite a few works, and you could get. There was no really excuse for anybody couldn't get a job.
Did you become? I know you're a member of the union. You said you had to join the union. Did you become active in union affairs?
No, not really. No. I joined under protest, more or less. They took tuppence or threepence off. I wasn't going to go and give them my spare time up as well. They never tried to induce boys to go to any meetings. You know, that was they used to have occasional meetings in the shop to discuss things, but they never, he didn't have a place, not that I know of anywhere, to go on to a meeting.
Would you say that the union was strong in the works? Was it
it was strong, but and Mr. Fisher come out, and come on, time of getting back to work, they used to scatter and go to work, you know. They used to rule the roost.
Coming in up to the late 1930s, you've mentioned the Spanish Civil War.
Yeah.
There were various crises coming. Chamberlain went off to see Hitler, etc. Were you aware again that Germany might be causing problems?
Well, only what we used to see on the newsreels and things like that. We didn't think there was a world war pending. In fact, after I'd been and couldn't get in the RAF, I was still a bit restless. One or two of the lads had joined the Territorial Army.
These your friends?
Yeah, one or two. Well, acquaintances anyway. And the idea was that you used to go on weekends to learn to drive lorries, you know, and marching up and down the big attraction, I must say, as far as I was concerned, you went away for a month's camp in the summer and you got £5 bounty, plus when you'd been doing these drills twice a week, you got so much for doing the drills. So I thought it was like a part-time thing for me. I thought, oh, I love some of that. So I joined up on the 17th of the 7th in 39, joined the Territorial Army.
July.
It was amusing when I went to join, because you didn't just give your name, and you didn't bother much, no exams or anything to get in, but you just had a medical. And it was a bit amusing when I went for the medical, and this little, I think it was a little Scotch doctor, he was, you know, a civilian practice, but he used to get roped in to do these things. And he had a big sheet of paper on his desk, your name on and whatnot. Have you ever had this? No. Have you ever had that? No, 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 no. And then it come to that question, have you ever been refused for service in any of the services in Majesty's forces? And I said, oh, yes. What for? I said, the RAF. What did they refuse you for? And I said, dry skin. And I just had my shirt off while he was in. Lay down on my, and he went over with me with a magnifying glass up and down, and he said, they refused you for that. And I said, well, of course it was in the summer, my skin was, it, you're not saying better, but it was a lot better than it was in the winter. And get dressed, he said. So I got dressed, and he patted me on the shoulder. He said, you'll be all right for this lot, son. I thought, oh, dear me, what have I done?
did Favourdale Works encourage you to join the Territorial?
Well, there was a railway battalion, but they went away for the camp for a month, but when they were away, they just carried on like more or less working to do with the railways, except maybe laying lines and whatnot. And I didn't know at the time, until I joined the Tories, and somebody said, why didn't you go in the railway battalion then? They told me about that, and I thought, well, that's not much good. You go down, you're leaving the work to get away for a month, and you go down there laying lines and making work. No, I thought that over. But when the war started, like I say, I joined in on the 17th, and I got called up on the 24th of the next month, so it wasn't, you know, war was pending.
Can we deal with this first, these weeks that you were at Territorial? What unit were you joining?
The RSC.
Did it have a number?
A general transport. It was 923 company.
And was it the driving that attracted
you? The driving that attracted me, yeah. Oh, yes, definitely.
And where were they based?
It was just in Union Street. Funny enough, where the back of this bakery used to be. And they used to just sort of congregate there, and then they used to march off down Gladstone Street to Corporation Road School, and used to get in the schoolyard and up and down drilling and whatnot, and then march back again, do a couple of hours, and then march back again up to the. At the time we started, we didn't have uniforms; we were just walking around like civilian dressed back. It wasn't until later on we started getting the bits and pieces, you know. Uniform.
You didn't get it all together?
No, no. Well, saying no. I think we got the boots first, and then we got like a battle, it's like a service dress, not the battle dress, the service dress. We got that first. And then I was going around with three of us, there was me and two other men, not from work, but two of my pals. Three of us walking around to past the picture house on the way down to Union, and there was this dispatch rider come, and he seen we were in uniform, and he said, oh, yes, I've got something for you. He gives the letters out for calling up purpose. So,
can you describe the Union? Who was in command of the territorial unit?
We had a regular sergeant major. There was two or three officers. I couldn't really say who they were. I think mostly from Darlington. Most of the drivers were either off the buses, transport, or post office. There was the nucleus, I think, of the drivers anywhere. So when they had the drivers, when you joined up, you sort of went with them to learn how to drive.
And do you remember the name of the Sergeant Major?
I've got a photograph of him somewhere, which I shall have to get out for you. Unfortunately, he got killed about 2 or 3 months after the war started. He was coming into Darlington on the back of a bike, him and the Corporal Cook. They were visiting either their wives or somebody in Darlington. And when they were coming back, they had an accident with this bike. And when you look at the bikes, there was no pillion seats on them, it was just a seat. So I don't know how they got up to them. It was up around Blackwell Corner, and they had an accident and he died. The Corporal Cook got away with it, but he was a lovely fellow, and all for all he was Sergeant Major. He was a soldier, put it that way. He used to weld you into units.
So you weren't with this territorial unit long, actually, but in the brief time you were with them, you've mentioned drill and that they were teaching you. So what else were you doing?
We were supposed to be learning to drive. We were learning the rudiments of rifle drill and things like that. When I'm saying you, they only had a few rifles, so you were like getting maybe about six, and you were borrowing them, and then they went back into the armoury. How to conduct yourself as a soldier. You were only there twice a week. I think it was Tuesdays and Thursdays we used to go marching up and down, and hopefully on the weekend. But there again, there was that many there, and they only had about two or three wagons. So I never got on the wagon yet. You know, it wasn't until the war started that I got a wagon. Well, I didn't get a wagon. When the war did start, I remember we were in under canvas at Scorton Camp. That's where the company were going so many at a time for a month's camp. Scorton, a big deal going from Darlington to Scorton, you know. But that was the month's camp. So we were supposed to go, our section was supposed to go in September. So we never got down to camp. We were called up in September. And then occasionally, used to come into Darlington on a bus from Croft, I think it was, would charge you 6 months to drive and fetch you into Darlington and come back. But when the war started, they commandeered loads of lorries. There was all sorts of shapes and sizes, you know, from big furniture vans down to these little things that used to run the picture house vans. Used to run reels and that down the town. I remember seeing them.
These were all civilian vehicles.
The civilian thing. They were all in. They come down and that was your job. They were all in paint, camouflage paint, splashing it all over. I always remember there was about four or five Ford Prefects, brand new. And I said, you don't want us to paint these, you know, for the officers. Oh, you have to paint them brown. And the next day you'd go and put black, you know. It broke my heart. Like a Ford Prefect, you'd get them for under £100, about £90, I think it were.
Well, the army trucks that the unit did have, the one you joined, you said they only had
two. Like canvas sides, canvas top. I forget what they call them. Like I say, I was never on them. You had about two or three. But once they got these other ones in, they were put on one side to the workshops. I never saw them yet. Never saw them in operation.
So the brief time that you were at Territorial, you got no much farther really than drill. Marching and drill.
Yeah.
Which was before
that was all it, yeah. Just marching about.
And you said that the letters calling up were for the whole unit to be called up and become.
Oh, yes, yeah. Well, there was some was already in camp. I like there were like A, B, and C, A, B, C, and D companies. And I think there was three lots of camp. We were in B and C, I think, our company. It was HQ. Workshops, it was one section, and there was
these were transport companies,
yeah.
In effect.
Yeah.
Where were you when Chamberlain made that announcement?
Well, we were on the canvas in Scorton, and one Sunday morning we were called on parade. The sergeant major called us all on parade, and there's a tent where the OC. He had the wireless and he had it turned up full blast, like, you know, and we were all stood at ease right round him, and when the announcement come up, Mr. Chamberlain, you'll have heard the story, went away and goes, from this moment we have no message from Hitler, and so from this moment on we are at war with Germany. And I always remember that the Sergeant Major, when he'd come out, the Sergeant Major come out and got the company to attention. He said, right, you've heard the news. Anybody that wants new underpants, get away at the quartermaster's doors. And that was it.
What were your personal thoughts at that time when it was announced?
Well, at the time I was regretting not being able to get in the RAF. I don't know how to think about the RAF. But at that time, up till that time, I'd never even driven anything. You know, so I seemed to be at a loose end. I was just, all the learners were getting all the rubbishy jobs, sweeping up and cookouts fatigues and all this, you know, and I thought, I didn't join up for this, like, you know.
So what was your parents' response to war and having
My father, I wasn't, I'd had a bit of an argument with him about something, so previous to the war starting, I'd been marching up and down to Corporation Road, and I had relations, my granny and that used to live in Thornton Street, and my aunt had been stood on the doorstep watching us march by, and yeah, there's old Billy, you know. So of course it was, by the time I'd got back home, it was common knowledge that I'd joined the Territorials. My father was reluctant to work. He was daft, he was a bit sulky at times. I took after him. I must, he wouldn't speak to you if you'd upset him. I don't know what I'd done to upset him, but anyway, he said, hey, you've joined the army, the Territorials. And I said, yeah. What lot are you in? I said, the RSC. Why didn't you join my old lot, he said. The Durhams, 5th. And I said, you must be joking, aren't you? I said, you've got 2 fingers shot off of you, your arm's permanently bent, and you want me to go in the infantry? I said, no way. I said, that's the idea of joining the RSC, so I'm driving about. We used to call them rob all serving comrades, we used to say, in the First World War. I said, ah, well, I don't know about robbing, but I'll certainly not go in the infantry.
Were there expectations of what the public thought on from the point of view of how long the war would last?
Oh, it will be a couple of years, that's it, maybe home for Christmas and all this, you know. But it wasn't until about 3 or 4 months before anything happened at all, any air raid. I think we heard an air raid, so I thought, oh, we're going to get bombed, you know.
Did people think it would be a similar war to the First World War?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So their memories would not be pleasant ones?
Well, that's right, my father, he used to tell me about things that happened in the First World War, which I didn't take a lot of notice of, because he was a prisoner of war as well as being wounded. In fact, I didn't know. My sister got, she had a paper, and it had on Darlington men, this Darlington, my father, Private Blewett, was wounded 5 times. A prisoner of war. Well, it was about 2 years, I think, he was a prisoner of war. And I used to have photographs of, but they seem to have disappeared. I don't know whether, I don't think my sister will have got them. And then he used to, when he come back, years after, his arm used to keep breaking out, and he had to go to the Dunstan War Hospital and get treatment, you know.
You were only in the Territorials a short time, but
yeah.
Did the public's opinion of soldiers change from
yes
the Saturday night soldiers?
That's
the,
right, yes, they did. Because we didn't used to, on a Saturday night, there used to be, like say, Saturday night soldiers, but also with Catterick garrison soldiers coming in, we used to get more stick off them than the public. They used to come on in. There were, you were Saturday night soldiers, you know, looking for trouble. But there was one or two skirmishes in the marketplace when they used to be going on the bus going back home, but not a lot. I mean, I didn't used to go out looking for trouble, like, you know.
But that would change when war broke out.
As soon as the war became
permanent.
As soon as the war broke out, you took your CA badge off and you were one of them. Plus the fact, we used to come, in them days, like I say, there was the entertainment was pictures and dances, maybe a few dances. Football, We used to come in past the South Park. I remember coming in South Park, and there was a lot of men laid on the banks. You could like a jacket and great trousers. You know, it looked like for all the world like a uniform. And these were the men that had got called up, but they weren't in the army that day. They had to go down the mines or something like that. I think it was. Didn't take a lot of notice at the time, but just realised it afterwards. That was in the South Park. But when we got these lorries, and then the troops were getting ACAC batteries, searchlights and whatnot, all round about. And that's when we had to start escorting mob stores, they used to call it. They used to get all the rations and whatnot in there. And then they used to go get a work ticket, go down to the mob store. They used to have a representative from their company. He used to stay with us in the camp. They used to go down, not straight away, but afterwards, and sort of order the, like going into the Morrison supermarket, they say, well, getting all the stores for them, let's deliver them. Then when you'd get with the driver and say, I was with you, you were driving, full store. When you come back, it's empty, so I'd learn to drive on the empty wagon.
That's how we learned.
That's how we learned.
There was no kind of lessons in
no,
the sense of...
No, nothing like that. You're just thrown in the deep end.
Did you find it easy then to drive from the beginning?
I think I had an aptitude, I think, to drive, because I liked the idea of driving. And it all depended. If you got with a good driver, it was all right. If you got with somebody who was just a bit better than you, you know, hitting the gears and whatnot. And of course, with these old lorries, you maybe get a good lorry or a bad lorry, fall into bits.
And were these still the civilian ones that you'd...
These are civilian ones, yeah.
So you'd be driving quite a multiplicity of various types.
Oh, all sorts, you know, which was good in a work.
But just before we go a bit further, I should have asked you, was there any anti-war feeling in Darlington when war came?
Not that I know of. Not that I know of.
Because it was a Quaker town, isn't it?
It was... we were... When we only time, like when we come in, you never get any... Not an animosity, I thought there were. You used to get along all right. I mean, you were a civilian yourself until a month beforehand, you know. I never come across any